have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen, nor ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Oh boy. But how terrible for you who are rich, because you have already received your comfort. I actually prefer the NRSV translation, where it makes use of the word woe. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Following this beatitude in Luke, where the poor are blessed, the hungry are blessed, the weeping are blessed, the financially secured receive no blessing, the ones with plenty of food and more, woe to you. Those who are able to laugh in a moment when others in the community are suffering, woe to you. However, it's that first woe that sets the tone and continues Luke's theme, warning those with money, those who are greedy, because they are more prone to miss the good news that Jesus came bearing. Now, while I would not consider myself rich on a global scale, and surely on the scale of the community Jesus was a part of, I and many of us would be woed for all that we have. So if we feel judged by Jesus this morning, it is because we are. Also, if we feel judged this morning, then the blessing Jesus has to offer may not be for us. This may be hard for some of us to accept, especially those of us used to getting what we want with the swipe of the finger and an Amazon Prime subscription. And this is something that I do. I'm sure no one else does this, but when I hear someone who has everything not get something small or one thing, in my head I play the song to a Rolling Stones chorus that you may have heard before. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. When someone who has everything just can't get that one thing. And what we may want here is to desperately be included in this blessing, which is why so many preachers and so many Christians would rather go to Matthew, where it says poor in spirit. And that way, together as a community, can let out this sigh of relief. It's poor in spirit, not money, not possessions or material wealth. But Luke from the beginning points and puts money and riches at the forefront of Jesus' message, knowing that prophets in his time prevented transformation the community needed. So as much as we want the blessing, we can't always get what we want. Back in 2017, I had the privilege to go on a travel seminar to Cuba. The trip was simply to learn from the people there, hear their stories, and witness how God was already and is already at work in their communities. Over a span of 2 weeks, we traveled by bus from Havana to Santiago de Cuba. There was a center in Havana that was run by Raul Castro's daughter that was focused on gender and sexuality justice for the LGBTQIA community. We visited UCC partners and discussed their ministry among the disadvantaged on the island. We visited their top medical facility and learned how Cubans are training doctors to go to developing countries in the global south. We visited the Martin Luther King Jr. Center focused on injustice, racial injustice on the island. And it was so enlightening to see how God was already at work in Cuba. And as we drove the 550 miles from one end of the island to the other, I read the words of liberation theologian Gustavo Gutierrez, who wrote this: God has a preferential option for the poor. God has a preferential option for the poor. And it was really the first time that I had considered this. I always thought God did not choose sides, that God does not play favorites, God does not bless some and woe others. This challenged my previous understandings of God. Gutierrez goes on to say, God has preferential option for the poor, not because they are necessarily better than others morally or religiously, but simply because they are poor and living in an inhuman situation that is contrary to God's will. You better believe those words stuck with me the entire trip. Actually, they did more than stick with me. They haunted me, lingered over every interaction, and followed me to each new place I went. As we left our 4-star hotel for neighborhoods experiencing deep poverty, God favors the poor. After I spent $80 at a cigar and souvenir shop, and our guide informed me that my impulse buy was a month's salary enough for a family of 4, God favors the poor. And I wish I could say that it went away after that trip, but this teaching from Jesus again haunts me because it centers on a God that blesses the needy and judges those living in excess and abundance. I and many of you listening this morning have everything we need and more, which doesn't mean life is perfect or we don't suffer or feel pain, but maybe we aren't the ones living the sea of life or death, the ones through Jesus God sought to bless. And so we find Jesus in the thick of a vibrant and needed ministry for his community. Crowds of people surround him for the purpose of both healing and hearing. They long for hearing his word of a God that has a good news for the poor and desires the oppressed to be free. They also long for this immediate healing to their diseases and unclean spirits. Jesus does both, and in the midst of healing makes eye contact with his disciples and can see in their eyes a conflict over who God pays attention to, who God favors, who God is blessing. Which makes me think, were there privileged disciples that struggled with the scandal of Jesus' ministry that was tightly associated with the outcasts and needy and marginalized? Were there some who still wrestled with their call to live as Christ, not wanting to part with their status or money? Were there some who simply could not fully commit to his ways? And then they were hit with it. Woe to you. I still struggle with a God that could wag a finger at someone with no good news or hope of redemption attached to it. And so I invite us to wonder if we really believe God is love, that God liberates us, frees us to experience and live God's grace, what if? What if God's judgment or the woe Jesus gave some of his disciples was not meant to exclude or hurt their feelings, but meant to free them? What if it was to help them reorient their lives towards what is holy and divine? What if this was their opportunity to embrace the woe? As if Jesus was a loved one simply confronting them about their habits or lifestyles that affected those closest to them. What if the poor, the marginalized, the outcast, the ones rejected in the world, are the only ones really prepared enough to receive the truth of God's kingdom? For they know each meal, each day, each second is truly a gift. Because once we realize that it all flows from God, and what God gives us is enough, all of a sudden, I don't need that marble countertop to feel whole. I don't need that trip to Disney to be complete. I don't need more and more money or the finest technology. No, God has provided enough. Spiritual author Mark Nepo uses this saying. He says this: the greedy gather all the cherries, but the simple taste all the cherries in one. The greedy gather all the cherries, the simple taste all the cherries in one. Jesus is convinced that the poor have been blessed, have received this head start because of their condition, because they knowingly rely on the grace of God just as they come to Jesus to be healed. And we too rely on God's grace every single day, but so few of us live as if we did. For if we really did, we would do a better job of sharing God's abundance. We would not be upset that someone received welfare. We would praise it. We would not be upset if there was universal childcare or health care. We would rejoice. We would not say it is too expensive to embrace green energy and ditch oil production. We would want to protect God's earth at all costs. We would not ignore the harm of no-knock warrants on black and brown bodies because we would want all lives to feel safe under a blanket in their own home. We would not strive for all the cherries, but taste all the cherries in one. We have enough, and like Christ, called to share it so others can have and enjoy this life. But maybe there is a blessing in Jesus' teaching for us. After all, if I were to keep singing that catchy chorus, "You can't always get what you want," Sir Mick Jagger will say, "But if you try sometimes, you might find you get what you need." What if we need to embrace the woe, to make eye contact with Jesus, and be honest about our riches? What if, in order to be a disciple, we need to listen to the stories of the ones God has blessed, the ones that realize this grace thing from God truly is amazing, and it's available for all of us right now? Yes, perhaps the blessing is within us when we share, when we realize all we are and all we have is enough for right now. And so I want to end with this. It's our assurance of grace from earlier in our service. And I invite you to listen to these words and to savor them as we go into our week. God knows your mind and knows your heart. God forgives those who seek forgiveness with sincere hearts and minds. God offers grace of hope and courage to change our ways and confront injustice. Blessed are those who trust in God, whose trust is in God, know that you are loved and forgiven. And all the people said, thanks be to God. Amen.